we might finish a few minutes early, and that is the Isser of Schita. We've been talking about Malabim, and the Rambam tells us that part of the Isser Dioraisa of Malabim is Schita, to actually do Schita. Now, the Lashon of the Rambam says that, let me just pull it up here, we mentioned this already, but we'll say it again. The Rambam says that the Hasochet Es HaBeged, this is the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Aleph, Hasochet Es HaBeged, Ad Sheyotze HaMayim Shebo, a person who squeezes a beged until water comes out, that's Mechabes and Yerchayev. Why? Shehaschita Mitzarche Kibusi. Schita is part of the kibbutz process. And we said that in order to clean something, you have to wet it, you have to rub it, and then you squeeze it out. That's like the spin cycle on a machine. So that is mitzarchei kibbutz. That is a form of, or a step, or a part of the process of cleaning a garment. And just like hagasa is mitzarchei bishul, just like stirring the food when you're cooking something adds to the process of bishul, whether it makes sure the cooking is being done evenly or if it spreads the spices, but it's mitzarchei abishul. So to schita is mitzarchei kibbutz. It's part of the process of kibbutz. So that's the Isser Dioraisa. The Isser Dioraisa is to squeeze out a garment. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam in Ksubis and Dafvav and Shabbos and Daf Yud Aleph. Tosos quotes that sometimes schita, though, can be a different malacha. And that is the malacha of mefarek, which is part of the broader malacha of dush. Right? Mefarek or dush is to separate something from its, let's say dush, classic av malacha, is to separate something from its natural encasement. They would, when they were with the grains, when they used to harvest the grain, they would have to separate certain parts from others. There would be part of the winnowing and dush process. So mefarek is when you separate something from something else, but when you want the item that you're separating. So for instance, in this case, this would be that if a person has a garment and you have a liquid in it and you want the liquid, so then when you squeeze the garment to get the liquid out and you want the liquid, that's mefarek. Meaning in kibbutz, when we're dealing with malabim, I guess let's say it like this. Anytime someone squeezes a garment, we first all have to ask, why is he squeezing it? If he's squeezing it to get the liquid out, so then it's malabim, because that's how you clean the garment. You get the liquid, the cleansing agent, you get it out. After you're done cleaning, you get it out. So it's part of cleaning. If it's not because of the garment, but it's because you want what's absorbed in the garment, then that is called mefarek. So again, a classic example would be if you would squeeze juice out of a fruit. Squeezing juice out of a fruit, you want the juice, obviously. You don't want a fruit that doesn't have any juice in it. You don't want an empty orange. You want the orange juice. So that's mefarek. There is a machlokas rishonim. If you take something that would normally be squeezed out, let's say an orange, but you don't end up using the liquid, you squeeze it in a way where the liquid is holech li'ibud. The liquid is lost. So is there still also an isser in that situation or not? That's a machlokas. It's not so clear how we paskin when the liquid is holech li'ibud. That's going to be important when we start discussing different examples of schita. Okay, that's the Isser Dioraisa. There is also, however, an Isser Dirabanan. And the Isser Dirabanan is a chshash of schita. When you put yourself in a situation that might lead to schita, or perhaps we'll see situations that look like schita. Again, schita itself is an Isser Dioraisa. But there are going to be situations that either might lead to schita or are very similar to schita. And those would be an Isser Dirabanan. So what's one example where they make an Isser Dirabanan because of a chashash that you will come to schita? So if you take a look in Shin Beis, right, that's our simon. If you look in Sif Tes, so, in the Ramah, he says, "Beged she'en olav lichloch, a clean garment, mutter lates olav mayim mu'atim." This is when we discussed, if you remember, when we discussed Malabim, when we first started, we brought up this machlokas, two opinions in the Ramah, machlokas Bali Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, are you allowed to wet a garment that's clean? Wetting a garment that's dirty is certainly a problem. That's going to be malabi. But wetting a garment that's clean. So the first day in the Ramah holds that that's okay. Beged she'ein alav lichluch, and we said this is probably the Shulchan Aruch's opinion also. Mutter lo says olav mayim muatim velo merubim. You're allowed to put a little bit of water on it, but not a lot. Why not? What's wrong with a lot? If it's allowed to get wet, what does it make a difference, a lot or a little? It's not malabim. So says the Ramah, you're right, it's not malabim, but it's because of a derabbanan. Shema yischot. Maybe if it's really wet, you're going to come to squeezing it out because people don't like their garments to be that wet. So whenever a garment gets wet, you always squeeze out a little bit of water. So it's not a iser d'oraisa because it's not malabim according to this opinion because it's a clean garment. But it would be a problem because of this derabbanan. It would be asur derabbanan. Shema, you'll come to squeeze it. If you take a look one siman earlier in Shin Aleph, so the Ramah here, it's a long siman, but if you look in Mem Vav, Sif Mem Vav, so the Ramah here says, we're talking about begadim that are shruyim b'mayim, very wet garments. So if you take a look at the Ramah, the Ramah says, the asur letaltalum shema yavali deschitas. The Ramah paskins that it's asur to handle a wet garment. It's asur to handle a wet garment because inevitably by handling a wet garment, you're going to end up squeezing it a little bit, right? Think about a really saturated garment. If you hold it in your hand, you start passing it between your hands. Every time you squeeze the garment a little bit, every time you apply a little bit of pressure, you're going to be squeezing water out of the garment. So the Ramah says here, Aser letaltalam, shema yavo lidei schita. And he adds an important point, which we're going to get to in a minute. And these are the kulas of when we don't have this iser derabbanan. So let's, I guess, begin with this first one. The Ramah adds a few more words here. Vehu shemakbid al meimav. What does this mean? Vehu shemakbid al meimav. So says the Mishnah Bura in Kufayin Beis. She'ein rotish yebehem mayim. Talking about things that you don't want them to have water. But hamatlanios shishruyim tamid b'mayim. What do you think that means? Matlanios shishruyim tamid b'mayim. It means like dish towels that are always getting wet. Ein locho shemutter b'tilta. So what is the Ramah talking about here? The Ramah is giving us exceptions to the Isser D'Rabbanan. Again, the Isser D'Rabbanan is you're not allowed to do something that will be shema yavali deschita. Classic example is to handle a wet garment. So there are kulas, though, when we don't apply this gezeira. What are these kulas? So one kula, the Ramah here says, is if you're dealing with a garment that you don't mind if it's wet, then we don't have to worry, you might squeeze it out. Meaning when we're chazal concerned that you might squeeze out a garment and therefore you can't even handle a garment that's wet or get a garment too wet, that's something like a shirt. You know, you have a nice shirt. You don't want your shirt to get to be wet. So if you get it wet, you might squeeze it out because you don't want it to be wet. But dish towels, which are always getting wet, people aren't mocked. They're like, oh gosh, it's getting so wet, I better squeeze it out. And therefore, there's no problem when it comes to that. That's what the Ramah here says. Again, asu l'talklam shema yavali deschita, v'hu shemak b'dal meimav. So that's kula number one. Kula number two, we've already spoken about. It's also in Shin Aleph. This is in Shin Aleph. Hey, all the way back in the beginning of this sif, and we've mentioned this outside, this is a gemara in a few places, that you're allowed to walk a holich l'dvar mitzvah mutter lavor b'mayim af b'chazara. So the this specific end of the halach is talking about something else, but you're allowed to walk for a dvar mitzvah even in water. And we talked about the gemara that talks about somebody, the gemara in Yuma, I believe we quoted, where the Gemara talks about somebody who wants to visit his Rebbe on Yontiv, but the only way to get there is to pass through water. Now, you're not allowed to wash yourself on Yom Kippur. Sorry, not on Yontiv, on Yom Kippur. Not allowed to wash yourself on Yom Kippur, right? Rechitza is Aser. So how can you walk through the water in order to get to your Rebbe? So the Gemara says that that's okay. Then Tosfos says, wait a second, what about Schita? Granted, it might not be a problem in terms of washing. What about Malabein? What about Schita? So Tosfos there addressed and said that schita is not a problem because if it's Ladvar Mitzvah, so they weren't gozer. So that's number two. And number three, a sick person. We saw that the Be'er Halacha discussed a baby. If you're washing a baby in a tub on Yontiv, which is allowed on Yontiv in certain situations, so if you're washing a baby on Yontiv and you don't want the baby to slip, this is not just like, you know, not just being an American who's getting nervous. This is the Be'er Halacha writes that he was nervous. He says, how can you wash a baby in a tub without putting a towel in the bottom of the tub? So, oh, but you're getting the towel wet and the towel's going to end up Yavo Lidei Srita. So it's okay for a chol, even a chol Hashem Basakana. So we're going to be Mekel. So there are three situations where the Issa D'Rabbanan, they didn't apply it. If you don't care that it's so wet, so I'm at handling or getting a garment very wet, which Shema Yavo Lidei Srita. It's either that you don't care that it's so wet, it's something that gets really wet all the time, so you're not going to be so hated. Number two is Bar Mitzvah, or number three, for a sick person. So let's go through a couple of very practical examples. One practical example is, well, this one's probably not super practical example for you guys, but, you know, maybe one day it was, maybe for your kids, a water fight. Can you have a water fight on Shabbos? You know, now, not in the grass. We're not talking about in your backyard where all the grass is going to get wet. No, in your chanaya, everything's concrete. Nothing's going to get, there's no watering of anything. Can you have a water fight? So even if there's no problem of kibbutz when you're doing it, seemingly there should be a problem of shashter runner schita. If you're going to get your clothing very wet, so people, there's a shash schita by regular clothing that a person wears.
So if your shirt's off and you have a bathing suit?
That you say if you take off your shirt and you put on a bathing suit and you run around in a bathing suit, so then maybe it would be less of a problem. Correct. You're saying because a bathing suit is something that people, that's a great example of a garment that people don't mind if it's wet.
Well, right. What about children? Take the shirt off and they're all sticky and gooey and dirty. Take them outside in the chanaya, spit some of those. Right, they got like bathing pants on, let's call it. I don't know, bathing, like shorts.
Or... Right. So that probably wouldn't be a problem of speaking. Again, I don't know. We will get into Shabbos. Is it the right thing for Shabbos, a spirit of Shabbos? But right, in terms of speaking, that won't be a problem. Certainly if they're not wearing, if they took off their shirts, and if they're only wearing swimming shorts or bathing suits, then in Achanami, that simcha, that might be a very good example of a garment that... people are not makbid on, and that would be perhaps included in their own school. Okay, another example is drying dishes. When you dry dishes, so the towel you use ends up getting very wet. So this is discussed by the Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Siman Shin Beis, that, you know, back to our Siman, if you look at Sif Yud Beis, Shin Beis Yud Beis, so the Shulchan Aruch says like this, Aser l'nagiv kos shahayu b'mayim o yayin b'mapeh. Amazing. You're not allowed to dry, right? When your wife asks you to dry the dishes, you can say, listen, I'd love to, but, you know, Shin Beis Yud Beis, you know, what am I supposed to do? It's, you know, Furish and the Shulchan Aruch. You can't dry the dishes with a towel. Why? Because the towel's going to get wet and you're going to be Asi Lidei Srita. Oh. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, your wife, if she knows her stuff, she's going to respond and say, nice try, but what is the Mishnah Berurah say over there in Nuntes and in Samuch? So if you take a look in Sivkat and Nuntes, so the Mishnah Berurah says like this. He says, this is even according, meaning don't make the mistake and think that this is the Shulchan Aruch being machmir for Malabim, that getting something wet is always a problem. And this is usher b'dil raisa because of malabing. No, that's not the case. Because this is derech lichluch, and this would be mutter. But still, afilu hachi, it's usher mishum shema yavoli deschita. First, just clarifies what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. We're not saying it's an usher d'il raisa of malabing, because it's derech lichluch. When you clean your dishes with a dish towel, the dish towel gets dirty. That's not the issue. The issue instead is going to be schita. That many people are not careful about this. You don't have to worry. Why? It's not going to get that wet. How wet does the towel get from drying a cup or drying a plate? However, that's true though. The reason why we're not makbid is because if you're drying one plate, so it's not going to be an issue. But what if you're drying 30 plates, 30 wet plates? Oh, it's karva dabra shavli deschita ben kli lekli. Then for sure, between kli to kli, you think about it. You're trying to dry kalim. You already dried 20 kalim. The towel you're using is sopping wet. What are you going to do? You're going to squeeze it out, and then you're going to keep drying. So shema yavli deschita. Okay. But, and now the Rama adds in the important kula. Ubismartut, I mean, maybe it's a chumrah because it's allowing us to be machmir on helping out our wives. Ubismartut hamiyuchad lekach. Shein machmir alav l'shochto. Up until now, we've been discussing something that you would care about, it being wet. But if you're using a dish towel, a smartut, which is miyuchad lekach, excuse me for a second, I just realized I didn't plug in my computer and forgot to buy. Okay, sorry about that. So back to the Mishneh Berurah. But a smartut, a dish towel, which is miyuchad for this, which you're not makbid, then everyone says it's okay. Yeah. Okay. So drying dishes. Shulchan Aruch says it's a problem. Mishneh Berurah says it's not a problem if you're using a dish towel, which is miyuchad for this. However, if you take a look in the next Mishneh Berurah, so he quotes from the Achronim that all of this is dealing with plates, bowls, but if you're dealing with a cup, which is very narrow, koshu tsar, ein l'nagvo afilu b'smartan hamiyuchad l'kach. Even if it's a designated dish towel, which you don't mind it getting wet, it's still going to be a problem if you use a cup, which is narrow. Why? Anyone have any idea? What does he say? T'efsher shlolav olidei schita. Of course you're going to come to schita. Why? Because when you're dealing with a narrow cup and you have to really like force it in there, every time you're trying to force it into that small area, you're going to end up squeezing out liquid that's inside. And therefore, when it comes to a narrow cup, it's still going to be a problem. Okay, so that was in terms of drying dishes. Drying hands. So you, as some of you might be aware, you go to some shuls, probably not a lot of the shuls that we go to, but there are some shuls, more in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laretz, that they have one of these communal towels that who knows how often they change them, right? They're on this like bar and you feel like they get changed maybe like once a year, these towels, and you pull on it and you hope to find a dry spot on it. So, you know, you go to a yeshiva that has like lots and lots of guys and they're using this, you know, reusable towel, that thing can get pretty wet pretty quickly. So is it okay to dry your hands on that? So seemingly that would be a problem if it was completely saturated. Again, if it's really wet, it's a situation where it's inevitable that water is going to get squeezed out. I guess it depends how wet this thing is. But if it's really so wet that it's inevitable that water is going to get squeezed out. So again, the paradigm here is the Mishneh Berurah that we just read about drying dishes. When you can dry dishes in a way that it's not inevitable that you're going to squeeze out, so then we don't necessarily assume that you're going to squeeze it out. Again, let me make the point clear. Getting something, a garment wet, is always a problem, or let's say is in general a problem, because we're concerned you're going to squeeze it out. Unwittingly, you're going to just squeeze it out. But if it's a garment that you don't care if it gets wet, so then we don't have to worry that you're going to squeeze it out. So now our only concern is, even if you don't squeeze it out, is the handling of it just inevitably going to lead to squeezing it out? And that's where we have this distinction between regular plates, let's say, and really narrow cups. Really narrow cups, even if it's a garment that you don't care about it getting wet, you will inevitably squeeze it out. So too with the towel, let's say, cleaning your hands. What about cleaning up a spill, let's say? You have a spill on a kitchen, with a kitchen towel. You have a spill on your counter. Can you clean up a spill on Shabbos? So again, we're talking about using a kitchen towel. So if it's a kitchen towel, which we don't mind it getting wet, that's its purpose. So we don't have to worry so much that you're going to come to do sechta. We just have to make sure that it's not a situation that's inevitably going to lead to sechta. So here, seemingly, let's say it's a hard surface counter. So in terms of the dioraisa of malabim, you're trying to clean up some water. Not a problem with dioraisa because it's derech lichluch. It would be derech lichluch. Now, if it's a dish towel, you also don't really care if it gets wet. So seemingly, there's no dioraisa, no derabana. The only thing to keep in mind is that you should therefore probably do it gently, because if you do it, you know, in a rougher way, so then we're going to get into this problem of inevitably squeezing out water. But if you do it gently and you take care not to do it, we don't have the chash of Shema Yavo Lischa. So it's interesting. I hope I'm making myself clear. Shema Yavo Lischa really ends up manifesting itself in two different ways. One is the concern that someone will inevitably just actually and actively wring it out. The other is that you're not going to actively wring it out, but the inevitable result of handling it is that it's going to squeeze out water. So you always have to address both of those issues. So again, with cleaning a hard surface, if you're using a towel that you don't mind it getting wet, we don't worry about the first issue, that you're going to consciously squeeze it out, because you don't do that with a kitchen towel. But if you use it roughly and you don't wipe it gently, so then we have to worry about the fact that inevitably you'll end up squeezing out water. And this is Mefurish in Siftes. If you look at Siftes, so he says, what do you do if you have something dirty? Right in the middle of the Shulchan Aruch, we read the Ramah before, in the Shulchan Aruch in Tess, he writes, Aval beged sheish lov lichluch, asur afilu l'shach shecho d'zeo kibuso. You're not allowed to wet a garment because that's kibus, even just wetting it. Ella, what should you do? Mekancho b'smartut, you should clean it with a dish towel. Now we know why he purposely says a dish towel. What? Clean it with a dish towel. Bekal v'lo b'dochat pen yischot. But just do it gently so that you don't end up inevitably squeezing it out. Yes, Simcha.
If you have a puddle, you can be gentle, but it's going to soak in, and then when you lift up, it will soak out because it's a puddle.
So if it's a puddle, so I would say it like this. If it's a big puddle, you have to always cheshbon the size of the towel in relationship to the spill that you're trying to clean up. If it's a very large spill and you put a towel on it that's going to get sopping wet, so then it's going to be a problem to handle that towel. Oh, but it's a towel, I don't mind if it gets wet. Not minding if it gets wet, it only helps us with the issue of actively squeezing it out. But if it's inevitably going to squeeze it out, then it's like the thin cup. So yeah, you're right. If there's a big spill, you would have to use a towel that's large enough that it won't get sopping wet.
What's squeezed wet? You put it on a big puddle and you lift it out and you see the drops coming down. So that's inevitably squeezing out.
No, I think it has to be that there was some type of active squeezing. You know, if you start, you know, handling it between your hands, that's squeezing out. The fact that it drips out, that's not squeezing. Sechita is only if you're going to be handling it. The best thing to do, and maybe we'll just go back to something we mentioned the other week, is to use a paper towel, right? Remember, we had a tshuva from Moshe. Rav Moshe writes that with a paper towel, so we don't have a problem of chashash of sechita. Again, if the paper towel, now you're going to say, oh, but the paper towel is going to get so wet that inevitably you're going to squeeze it out. So Rav Moshe thought that there was more room to be made regarding that, because the paper towel is fundamentally different than a garment. Because a garment is something that a person could theoretically be squeezing out in order to clean it. A paper towel, nobody ever squeezes a paper towel in order to clean it. So Rav Moshe thought all the discussions of Shema Yavo Lischa just don't apply by a paper towel. Theoretically, I guess if you would take a paper towel and purposely squeeze it out because you want to dry the paper towel and put it in the sun and reuse it again at some point, then I guess there's something to talk about. But Rav Moshe felt that in general, when dealing with paper towels, we don't have to worry about these issues with sleeping. This is talking about cleaning up a spill on a hard surface. What about cleaning up a spill on a soft, like a fabric surface? Let's say you spill water on your couch. So here, you have to be very careful. Because if you take a towel and push down on the couch, so you're going to be squeezing water out of the couch, right? On a hard surface, the only issue is, after I clean up the spill, now I have a towel with water in it, I might squeeze the water out of the towel. But when you have water on a couch and you exert pressure onto the couch, so then you're going to be squeezing water out of the couch into the towel. So you have to be very careful. The postman said with a fabric surface, you could put down a towel, but you can't push down at all. Because pushing down, squeezing water out of the fabric of the couch into the towel. Okay, a couple of other examples. A sponge. So a sponge is a really great example of schita, which is not the schita of kibbutz, but it's the other schita that we talked about that Rabbeinu Tam quotes, the schita of mefarik. Because when you have a wet sponge, when you use a sponge to clean a plate, you push down with the sponge in order so that water comes out of the sponge and wets the plate. So if you think about it, a situation of a sponge is not a schita because you want to clean the sponge. It's a schita because you want the liquid that's in the sponge. You want to get some of the liquid in the sponge out of the sponge that you can clean the plate. That's why you squeeze down with a sponge. So a sponge is a real problem of schita, but it's a schita of mefarik. It's not a schita of melabing. The Shabbos sponges that people have are, or brushes, really. People use brushes to wash the dishes on Shabbos. They don't use a regular sponge. The brushes are synthetic bristles, and they're spaced apart. So there's nothing that's considered like absorption of water. This was the debate Rav Moshe had with others regarding toothbrushes. Toothbrushes, even though the bristles on them are plastic or sometimes synthetic, because they're very, very close together, Rav Moshe felt that that's considered like they're absorbed within. Meaning when you have a fabric, there's real absorption into the fabric itself, into the strands, into the material. With a plastic toothbrush, the bristles are plastic. They're not absorbing any water. But because they're so tzafut, you end up getting water stuck between them, right? And so Rav Moshe thought that that was a problem to use a toothbrush, because when you use a toothbrush, you want that liquid that's inside between the bristles to come out onto your teeth. That's how you clean your teeth with. So that's why Rav Moshe writes a tshuva, he was against using, says in Chelek Aleph, Baruch Chaim, in the Kuf Yud Beis, he writes that it's a problem to use a toothbrush, even just with water. The other person, this Greek, felt that that's not really considered absorbed. That's just water that's sticking, that's there. One of the things the post can talk about is like water in a pipe. Water in a pipe is just sitting in the pipe. It's not absorbed. To pour water out of a pipe, no one would say is a problem. So how do you look at water that's between bristles? Is that absorbed? Is that like a fabric? Or is that just like water that's sitting, like it's in a pipe? So part of the discussion. But the Shabbos sponges, the bristles are separated so that there's clearly no absorption. It's true, you might have some like little water pellets, whatever they're called, little water, I don't remember what the term is, but little amounts of water on the edges of the bristles, but they're not absorbed between the bristles. Okay, let's talk about, just in the interest of time, let's talk about quickly baby wipes. What about the baby wipes? This is a big, big debate. Are you allowed to use baby wipes on Shabbos? So let's first break it down. Why would it be a problem? Because you're squeezing liquid. When you use them, you push down on them, you're getting liquid out of the wipe, right? We all know, like, sometimes if you leave the wipes open, you go to take out a wipe, like the top wipe or two is already like dry, and you're like, you don't use that one. Because the whole idea, I'm not talking about Shabbos, I'm talking about in general, because the whole idea of a wipe is that it's easy to clean the baby because they're wet and you get the liquid out of them. That's the whole point of them. If you wouldn't pay extra for baby wipes, might as well just use tissues if you don't mind using something that's dry. The whole idea is the liquid that's in them. So what kind of schita is this? So it's pretty obvious. This is not a schita of melabim. You're not trying to clean the wipe. You're not getting the liquid out of the wipe in order so that the wipe can be clean. What kind of schita is this? This is a schita of mefarit. This is where you want the liquid that's in the baby wipe to come out. This is a shaila of mefarit. Now, some poskim are just straight up machmir, nothing to talk about. The Minchas Yitzchak, the New York Shabbos, he's machmir. They say, listen, this is it. This is clear mefarik. The only thing you can do, they say, is that you can spritz water on the baby, get like a spray bottle, spritz the baby, and then use like a tissue to clean the baby. That's okay. You know, it's a tissue, so it's disposable. Rav Moshe, disposable. Not a problem. Don't have to worry about schita. Nobody's soaking the tissue. And there's no mefarik going on. You put the water onto the baby, and then it's like cleaning up a spill on your table. So don't use a towel. You know, maybe the towel gets too wet. Okay, so use a tissue. That's what the Orach HaShabbos means. However, there are a bunch of poskim who are making, and their argument to go l'kul is based on a couple of things. Number one, they try to argue that the mefarik is not a d'oraisa mefarik; it's only a d'rabbanan. Why is it only a d'rabbanan? So for two reasons. Number one, the Rambam and some other Rishonim Paskin, that mefarik only applies by gibulei karka. So many baby wipes are made out of synthetic materials. So if it's synthetic materials and it's not cotton, so it's not going to be a problem. It's not gibulei karka, it doesn't grow from the ground. And if it doesn't grow from the ground, mefarik's only the rabbanon, it's not the oraisa. Okay, to squeeze liquid out of, back in the olden days, the post can talk about if you spilled whiskey. So I'm not talking about on Shabbos. One of the ways that they would save the whiskey is they would put a towel down, then they would squeeze the whiskey back into the bottle in order to save the whiskey. I don't think people do that nowadays, I would imagine. But that was apparently what they did back then. So when is that mefarik going to be d'oraisa? Only if it's kedulei karka, if it's cotton. But if it's synthetic, it's not a problem. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam writes that there's a shear to be open on mefarik. The shear of mefarik is you have to squeeze out at least the amount of a grogeris of liquid. It's a dried fig. That's a significant amount of liquid. You don't have that much liquid. You know, a dried fig, that much liquid in a baby wipe, you don't have that much in a baby wipe. So even if you would literally sit and squeeze it out, at least according to the Rambam, it wouldn't be an issue of d'oraisa. So they want to argue, number one, it's mefarik d'rabbanan. That's number one. Number two, others argue that a nice wet baby wipe is so saturated that you're really cleaning the baby's bottom with the liquid that's on the surface of the baby wipe and not in the baby wipe. Meaning the baby wipe has water that's liquid that's absorbed in it. It also has some that's sitting on the surface, right? If you would take a baby wipe and you wouldn't push it at all, you would just very, very, very gently touch it, your finger would get wet because there's liquid on the surface. So they try to argue that maybe when you're cleaning the baby, you're really just using the liquid from the top. Oh, but maybe you'll push a little too hard and some will come out. So they argue that the Dabashin Miskabin, and it's not necessarily Pesik Reisha if you wipe gently. That's another sniff lahakel. The other sniff lahakel is that it puts for a baby. And a baby has a din of a choloshen bosakon. And why is the baby needed? Because if you use tissues in the baby, it's going to cause a rash and it's going to be uncomfortable for the baby. So those are some of the arguments that poskim use. Lemaisa, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that a wipe can be used if it is used gently and not pushed hard. Rav Asher Weiss goes even further. Rav Asher Weiss said that he did research and spoke with companies, and he argues that they're really designed that they don't absorb water, because they don't want the baby wipes to have so much water in them. Because if there's too much water in them, the baby's not dry when you put the diaper on, and then there's water there, and you end up developing a rash. The baby develops a rash. And therefore, their scientific research arrived at a formula to only get a certain amount of liquid. Okay, I don't know, he has a whole husband like that. So I don't know, I buy like the super cheap, you know, 4 for 10 shekel in the makolek. Not so sure that those are designed with the same precision that, I don't know, the top line ones are. It's also funny, in the Orcho Shabbos, he writes that he did research and there's a tremendous amount of absorption and the water is clearly being taken out of the garment itself. So I don't know, I don't know if they did research on two different companies, so I'm not sure exactly what to do with that. Yalkut Yosef also said he thinks there's what to rely upon if you use it gently. And in the Rilavos of Sephrayim, Shulas of Talmud of Rindlat, Talmud of Moshe, so he is very interesting. He writes that he's like a funny Lashon, how he believes that based on a conversation he had with Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe would be Makil. And he believes that's the right psak, but he like ends by saying, I hope I'm right, and Hashem forgives me if I'm not. But he claims, the Rav Ephraim, that Rav Moshe was Makil regarding baby wipes as well. Okay, we're going to just conclude with one last small little point. Up until now, we've been discussing the Dirabanan of Shema Yavo Litzchot, right? We said there's a Diraisa to do actual Tzchita. There's a Dirabanan to do something that might lead to Tzchita. Whether that means it might lead to active Tzchita or something that will inevitably cause Tzchita. And we discussed all these different cases. So there is another type of Dirabanan of Tzchita, and that is something that looks like Tzchita. Not because you're going to end up doing Tzchita, but it's too similar to Tzchita. And what's that? So the Gemara on Shabbos and Kuf Chav Ches says that there's no Tzchita when it comes to Seyar. When it comes to human hair, there's no problem of Tzchita. So according to the Gemara, if you get your hair nice and wet, you can squeeze out your hair and it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Well, in terms of Malavim, we don't have a problem with Malavim with the book. You're allowed to clean your body. Your hair is part of your body. There's no problem with Malavim when it comes to a body of a person. And in terms of Mefarik, so the assumption is that hair is not absorbent. The water, there might be water between your hair, but the hair itself is not absorbent. Comes the Magid Mishnah, though, and the Magid Mishnah in, on the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Aleph, the Magid Mishnah says, that Gemara, when it says there's no Tzchita by Seyar, that means on a D'oraisa level. But Midrabanan, there is a problem with Tzchita. Why? The Ran explains, the Ran agrees with this position, the Ran says, because since it's so similar to Tzchita, to real Tzchita, looks exactly like real Tzchita. They made a gzeira atu Tzchita v'yamo. They made a gzeira because it might lead you to do regular Tzchita. It's so similar to Tzchita, it might lead you to do Tzchita. So this is actually part of the big debate about going to the mikvah on Shabbos for men. The Chazon Ish held that you should not go to the mikvah on Shabbos because you're going to end up doing Tzchita v'seyar, which is Asur Midrabanan, according to the Magid Mishnah in the Ran. What about for women who need to go to the mikvah on Shabbos? So women are generally advised to be careful not to squeeze out their hair. So what can you do? So the Shmir Shabbos and other posts can say that you are allowed to gently use a towel on wet hair, not to squeeze the hair, but to gently pat your hair with a towel, or a woman to gently pat her hair with a towel. And if the water goes directly into the towel, it's not a problem. Why not? So two reasons. Number one, and we'll conclude with this. We already said that there's a machlokas by mefarik. If the liquid goes li'ibud, is that a problem? Right? Again, when it comes to hair, the issue of tzchita by hair is not malamim. It's not cleaning your hair. That's not the issue, because there's no problem with cleaning your body. The issue is mefarik. So what's the deal with mefarik? Because the whole idea of mefarik is that you want the liquid. So what if the liquid goes li'ibud? I squeeze it right into the sink. So we said that's a machlokas, halitosu, if there's a problem with mefarik when the liquid goes to the ibud. So therefore, Shmir Shabbos brings down, if you dry your hair onto a towel and the liquid goes right into the towel and it's gone, you don't have the water, that's called the ibud. And it can be nako, like the opinions that say that tzchita that goes to the ibud is not a problem. That's number one. Number two is that it doesn't look like tzchita. If you take your hair and you literally wring it out, that looks exactly like tzchita. It could be hair, it could be a towel. But when you dry your hair with a towel and the water goes right into the towel, it doesn't look like tzchita. There's no act of wringing out. Oh, but you push down on your hair. When you push down, you're basically squeezing the water out of your hair into the towel. Yeah, but it's so dissimilar to standard tzchita. And since the whole reason tzchita b'seyar is a problem is because it looks like tzchita and it might cause you to do real tzchita, so if you can do it in a way that doesn't look like tzchita, then it's not going to be a problem. And therefore, use a towel on your hair, wouldn't be a problem. That's all brought down in the Shmir Shabbos. Okay, we have one last year left on the topic of kibbutz. We're going to talk about makabe patish with clothing. We'll see what that means. And we're going to talk about folding clothing. And Mirta Shem, with that, like, you know, like hanging your pants up on the creases, folding your talus. So Mirta Shem, with that, we will finish up our discussion of Malabim and talk about if we're going to go weiter, we could start another malacha. Okay. Hope everyone is well and have a great week.